This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Brett McMurphy's joining us now, college football insider from the Action Network, as we have been talking a ton about what happened over the weekend and kind of projecting what it might mean going forward. But let's talk about Saturday first. First of all, Brett, thanks for joining us.
What's going on, Brett?
Hey, I'm jealous you're playing golf. I'd like to join you.
Come on out. I don't know where you are, but
yeah, Tampa. I don't think I'll make it by tea time, but enjoy it though.
I appreciate it. Who do you think was the biggest winner from all the chaos that happened on Saturday?
Oh, wow. Indiana and the ACC. I think the multiple losses by the SEC teams. We could debate for the next 2 hours whether Indiana is one of the nation's top 11 teams, which you have to be to get into the playoff. But you've got to put 11 teams in there. So when you're comparing a one-loss team with a three-loss team, I understand the difference in strength of schedules. But I think ultimately this selection committee has shown us over the past 10 years the most important metric, forget about strength of schedule, forget about yards per play, whatever the nonsense they throw out there. The one consistent, they've always gone with the lowest number in the loss column. Mm-hmm. And the only exception to that was Florida State last year. And so I think because there's such a disparity between one loss and three losses, I think that locked Indiana in somewhere in the top 12 seeds. And I think it also bodes well for the loser of the Miami-SMU game if both teams win this week.
Brett, do you think this is what they wanted when they went to this 12 team? Because obviously it's a TV show and they got to have some eyes on it and outrage after their team might have dropped a spot, like Georgia drops 12 spots and all those different things. But do you think this has made it more difficult for them? Because obviously they got all this strength of schedule, strength of this, all this other crap. But like you said, it ultimately comes down to what's in the loss column. But with these three lost teams, like an Alabama, teams like that, has it made their job more difficult?
Yeah, it has. And look, the rankings each week is you're dead on. It's a TV show. It's worthless. I mean, we all get outraged, but as we've seen, I'm being honest. I mean, yeah. I worked at ESPN. I know the sausage is made. It doesn't matter till you get to the final ranking, because we've seen in the past they have flipped teams that didn't play the week before. They've moved teams up that won by 50 points. They move teams down that won by 50 points. They do a bunch of different things. The last one's the only one that counts. What you brought up about the strength of schedule and the number of losses by the SEC teams, that's the biggest issue with this whole thing that makes it so frustrating for everybody, is that there's no like list on how we determine who the best team is. Again, it's 13 people. You may think it's strength of schedule. I may think it's fewer losses. Somebody else may think it's, your strength of record, how dominating you are, how badly you beat your opponents. Everybody's got a different thing that they're looking at, and it boils down to it's a beauty contest. And you may think one team's more attractive than another. I may think another team's more attractive than another. And it all boils down to it, somebody's opinion. There is no right or wrong way to do it. And basically, the other frustrating thing is, at the end of the day, they'll say, okay, here's our 12-team playoff. And then they'll tell you why that's the 12-team playoff. They never tell you specifically before why these teams are being chosen. It's always after the fact. Okay, here's our playoff, and then this is why we picked these teams. Well, they played great in the second half of the season. Well, they have a great quarterback. You've heard all the answers each week, but that's what's so frustrating And, you know, I can argue both ways. You can go by Vegas ratings, the power ratings. They'll give you the top 12 best teams, okay? A lot of those teams are going to have three losses. So should teams be penalized if they don't win all their games or if they lose a lot of games? It depends on how you view the argument. That's why Nick Saban has always been a big proponent of having all the Power 5 conference schools play strictly Power 5 conference schools, so it is more like the NFL, so you can compare apples to apples, but it's certainly not that way now.
Brett McMurphy joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, College Football Insider for the Action Network, talking about what happened over the weekend and obviously projecting forward as well. Let me just ask you this, because I mean there's a lot of debate about the back end of the playoff and who should get in with losses and all that kind of stuff. Who do you view as the best team? We've seen 11 games from all these teams. Who have you been most impressed by?
A lot. What week are we talking about? I mean, you know, Georgia the week of the Texas game, Oregon the week of the Ohio State game. I mean, the overall season, there's not one team that I'm like, this is the team that's going to win it. I think there's a handful of teams that can win it. I tweeted out literally a few minutes ago, the current odds to win the national championship. Ohio State's got the shortest odds. They are in Vegas. They are considered the favorite to win the national title. Yet, they may not even win their own conference. So that's what makes this whole thing so crazy. Before the season, I picked Oregon to win it. You know, I guess if Oregon wins, that makes me look smart. But you know, they could win it. They could lose in the Big Ten title game and then lose in the first round of the playoffs. I think that's what makes it so fascinating. I do think, though, that after about five or six teams, you know, Indiana's not going to win the national title. The Big 12 champ's not going to win the national title. The ACC champ's not going to win the national title. I think it's a very short list of who actually can win. But, you know, it's who gets hot, who stays injury-free, because even with this additional playoff and all the transfer portal, all these different things involved in college football, the one thing that hasn't changed that will impact who wins the playoff is the health of these teams. The rosters have not increased. You don't have more players than you had last year. You're playing more games. You're playing more competitive games. So who stays healthy? Who gets hot? And also, for the first time ever, who gets the best draw? We've seen that in college basketball. We've never seen it in college football.
Right. Brett, I was how about my Dogs? Because the fact is that, you know, they did have the bad loss to Ole Miss and everything, but yet the craziness of this college football season, they end up in the SEC championship game no matter what happens Friday against Georgia Tech. Did you see this one coming, especially after the loss to Ole Miss?
You know, I did and I didn't. I really liked what Georgia has done defensively. What concern I had about Georgia was when you looked at the Texas, Florida, and Ole Miss games, I think they had 8 or 9 touchdown drives. Only 3 of those were longer than 34 yards. So what that told me is while the defense was incredible against Texas, their offense really didn't do much. The defense set them up, special teams, different things. So the offense didn't have to do much. So that was a concern for me about Georgia, you know, moving on and potentially winning a national championship. Well, then what happens against Tennessee? 4 touchdown drives. I believe all 4 were over 75 yards.
Yep.
The offense, they figured it out. It came alive, whatever you want to say. I literally was doing a show earlier today, and they're like, well, why is Georgia up there? They struggled with UMass. I'm like, hold on a second. You think Kirby actually spent more than 5 seconds last week preparing for UMass? No. It's a practice game. He's working on what are they doing against Tech in the SEC championship game in the playoffs. So that's why people get so into this week-to-week thing. I think you kind of have to look at it overall for the entire season, and that's why I think Georgia's got a good shot. In my projected playoff pairings that I just put out, tweeted out, I've got Georgia winning the SEC and getting the number 2 seed and eventually getting the championship against Oregon. We'll see if that happens or not. But I think if Georgia's offense can do whatever they did against Tennessee, and that offense shows up instead of the offense that showed up against Ole Miss, Florida, and Texas. And look, the defenses are similar. They're not the same. I understand that. But that really showed me that, hey, maybe Georgia figured this thing out where they've got a better idea of what they're doing. Obviously, the defense is always going to be there. I don't necessarily think it's as strong as last year, but it's still better than 99% of the units out there.
Brett, we appreciate the time.
So much,
thank
Brett.
You.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Brett McMurphy there, College Football Insider, the Action Network, sort of a